Thank you, Lord. I don't know about you, but I feel pretty good today.
Right. Yes, sir.
As I said earlier, God has something brewing this morning. He has something for somebody. It might be me.
That's right.
But he has something brewing this morning.
Yes, yes.
I want you to turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Hebrews. Letter widely thought to be written by Paul, and others have different views, but I'm in the group to think that Paul wrote it. Amen. And I want you to turn to that 8th chapter. And starting with the 7th verse. It reads thus: "For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. For finding fault with them, he said, Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I have made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them on their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more."
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. You see, here in God's word, he says to the house of Israel and to the house of Judah, here's what I'm going to do someday with you. But for the church, that's us here, he says, this is already a reality. I want you to make sure you get that. It's for the future, for the Israelites and the house of Judah, but it's already true for the church. You see, and in case you don't get it, make sure you get that before you believe it. See, for the church, we are the Gentile, the parts of the Gentile group that heard God's word. Still Jews out there, the house of Judah, Israelites that have not heard God's word yet. But this morning, I want to just pick up. I did a sermon probably a couple of years ago. And all of you remember it. It was called Sign, Seal, and Deliver.
Oh, yes.
And I tease when I say, remember, I did not remember. If I hadn't done what I wouldn't remember. But you will remember what the content includes when we go over today, because this is a part two of that same sermon. So what I want you to do is to put a colon behind sign, seal, and deliver. And then I want you to write down fully understanding the New Deal. fully understanding the new deal. Hallelujah. You ever notice how this day and time the professional athletes, they always wait around till they become a free agent? See, it's in the year of my, when I become a free agent, I can renegotiate my contract. No bounds, I'm new, I can get what I'm worth. Look out now, I'm setting you up. This is the same thing that God does with us. He said, this new group, he said, I tried to be a God to them, and you couldn't figure it all out. So you, the first contract we had, neither one of us came out of it real happy.
All right.
He said, so I want to give you a chance for a new contract. A contract with better terms on it. Something that you can understand. Let me start like this. When I was studying this week, I ran across a quote. It goes like this. It says, the gospel to me is simply irresistible. Being the man I am, being full of lust and pride and envy and malice and hatred and false good and all accumulated, exaggerated misery. To me, the gospel of the grace of God and the redemption of Christ and the regeneration and sanctification of the Holy Ghost, that gospel is to me simply irresistible.
Yes.
He goes on, he said, and I cannot understand why it's not equally irresistible to every man, mortal man that was born of a woman. I just don't see why it wouldn't be irresistible. This gospel that is freely, freely given to us. Hallelujah. Let me continue setting this thing. When the Lord gave it to me. You see, we're talking about two covenants. One of law. And the second one by grace. You ever heard anybody say, talk about the letter of the law and the spirit of the law.
Yes.
When one obeys the letter of the law, but not the spirit, one is obeying the literal interpretations of the words. In other words, the letter of the law. But not the intent of those who wrote the law. Y'all follow that? So conversely, when one obeys the spirit of the law, but not the letter, one is doing what the authors of the law intended. Though not necessarily adhering to the literal words. Let me see if I can put that a different way. See what the letter of the law says, that you ought to be holy, that you ought to be loving, that you ought to be perfect.
Perfect. Perfect.
So raise your hands. Who wants to take the letter of the law and run with it? And it's pretty simple, was it not? It was simple. It was just three. Oh, that's all you got to do is do three things. Be holy. Be loving. And be perfect. That's all God wants from you. Boy, y'all quiet. Ain't nobody raising their hand anymore. I thought everybody's going to go for the first test.
That's what we're going for.
So because God had put out the letter of the law, we came to the point where we said, okay, we need to renegotiate.
Yeah.
Our contract. But now he has obtained a more excellent ministry.
Yes.
Inasmuch as he is also mediator of a better covenant. Which was established on better
promises. Yes.
And the whole Holy Spirit also witnesses to us. This is a covenant I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. You see, I want to renegotiate my contract. I'm ready to fire my agent. You see, I've gone through several agents. I started with as an agent, I had old Abraham, and I'm stealing something from y'all the other day. Y'all were talking about AMD. See?
Come on.
All right,
Buster.
So I stole from you from Bible study, but I had old Abraham as my agent, and Abraham was a good agent, and Abraham had good negotiating skills, but Abraham failed.
All right.
In fact, Abraham was somewhat of a coward. When Abraham was faced with a situation where he might lose his life, he told his wife to say she was his sister.
Right. That's true. That's so true.
So Abraham had some flaws.
That's right.
So he couldn't negotiate the kind of contract that I needed.
Come on now.
So I fired him. And I hired me another agent. I hired old man Moses.
Because
I heard some good things about Moses. He did some good things.
That's right. Yes. That's right.
Moses can probably get me what I want.
Tom.
He performed. He did some things that other agents had not done. So I said, I'll get old man Moses.
All right.
But Moses couldn't stay where he should have stayed. But Moses couldn't completely listen to God, man, because the Lord told him, he said, speak to the rock. And when the Israelites give you a hard time, speak to the rock and it will give water, but Moses wanted to make a point, so Moses struck the rock. He couldn't follow directions.
Come on now.
So Moses couldn't get from God what I needed.
All right now. Come on.
He's a good agent. So I fired him. And then I hired David. Because I told me that David was a man after God's own heart. I said, well, if he after God's own heart, then he ought to be just a man for me. He ought to be able to give me what I need.
Come on now. All right.
So I hired King David. Hallelujah.
Go ahead.
But then David had some flaws. David let his lust get in the way.
Yeah.
Bathsheba made him tremble.
Come on.
Weak. He got weak in the knees. And
in the word. Come on.
And when he found himself in a situation that he shouldn't have been in the first place, and he had the woman's husband sent to the front line to
kill. Yeah.
So King David couldn't negotiate the kind of contract that I needed because he fell short.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, God.
So I went shopping.
Go ahead.
For agent.
What did you find?
I looked. And I couldn't find the right agent until I found Jesus.
All right. Look, time, no, you don't search.
And being particular like I am, when I found Jesus, I had to ask him some questions. I had to find out if he had it all together.
Yes.
Hallelujah. When I interviewed Jesus, he said, I can negotiate a contract for you.
Yes. Glad about it.
He said, I can do everything that you need. He said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood.
Yes.
That's what
we're
talking about this morning.
Wow. It's this new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. When you understand that you can't be redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold, the only thing that can redeem you is the precious blood of Christ.
Yeah.
He said, what you need is a lamb without blemish, one without spot. He said, I've been through trials and I've been through tribulation, but I've never sinned. He said, because I'm perfect in all that I do. I'm perfect in my very being because I am the express image of God.
Come on now. Come on,
talk about it.
He said, I know better than anybody else what God desires. I know what God needs. I know how to negotiate with God. And
yes.
I know all about it. He said, I understand you pretty good too. He said, I understand that you are full of sin.
Yes.
And lacking in power and have nothing of your own.
Nothing, absolutely.
But if you hire me as your agent,
come on now.
I can negotiate a contract for you.
Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
Any of y'all ever been on your job and your supervisor may call you in the office and they say to you that I want you to succeed. Most of the time, look out. But see, God is different. When he sent his son, Jesus, when Jesus sat down with you and he said, I want you to succeed. All you got to do is just follow me.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord.
Negotiate a better contract for you.
Yes.
said it all be by grace.
By grace.
Grace.
By grace.
My grace is sufficient for anything that you might have to go through.
Come on, man.
Yes, talk.
He said, I want you to experience something that you've never experienced before. It's grace. And let me give you an acronym for grace. It says it's glorious realities as Christ empowers. Think about that a minute. Glorious realities as Christ empowers. Hallelujah. He said, I'll get you what you need.
All right.
And you don't have to do anything.
All right now.
Hallelujah. Well, let me tell you, I'm going to be short this morning. He said, let me tell you how I'm going to negotiate this contract. He said, in the first clause, it's forgiveness of sins. He said, I'm going to write it and I'm going to phrase it in a way that says that your sins and your lawless deeds,
come on now,
God will remember
no more.
No more.
Yeah.
Boy, that phrase, get your lawyer to check that phrase out.
Let me get that phrase.
He said,
"Lord, it's
easier never no more."
Mm-hmm. See, the reason is so perfect. See, you see, it's one sided. It didn't say what you had to do. Said your sins and your lawless deeds, I will remember
no more.
No more.
Thank you.
Come on, King Jesus. Come on, King Jesus. Negotiate. You know how the people tell the preacher?
Uh-huh.
You say to your agent, negotiate, Lord.
Negotiate, Lord.
He said on the second part of that contract, it involves an intimate relationship with the Lord. You see, Hebrew 8:11 says it like this. All shall know me.
Oh, not some. Oh.
From the least of them to the greatest of them.
Uh-huh.
One-sided.
All shall know me.
All shall know me. Negotiate, Jesus. He said, then the third part of that contract. It involves an internal work of God that produces an increasingly godly life in and through us. Hebrews 8:10 says it like this. I will put my laws in their mind.
Yeah, that's what he said.
Let me read that part again. That first phrase, he said, I will put my laws in their minds and write them on their hearts.
Go ahead, Jesus.
Negotiate, Jesus. Hallelujah. And then he says, those are the three major components of the contract. But then he said, but here is the beauty of it.
Here's the beauty.
He said, you don't have to do anything. He said, God will provide everything that you need.
That's right.
God will provide.
Thank you, Lord.
Jehovah Jireh.
You see, 2 Corinthians 3:5 says it like this. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything has been from ourselves. But our sufficiency is from God. Y'all like that contract?
I love that contract.
Negotiate, Jesus.
I need that.
I like that. That's what I need.
That's what you need. That's right.
get his business card.
Somebody call for Jesus' business card. That's all right. He said, oh, the only part you have to play in that. This is the only thing that I ask of you. He said, if you will give up the right to yourself.
All right, come on.
And give complete surrender to the Lord.
Surrender.
I surrender all. He said, just, I've given you a contract where you cannot fail, where you get everything that you need, and
yes,
all you need to do is surrender.
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 To the Lord. He said, and then when you come to this table this morning, this celebration that we are performing today, this celebration of God sending his son to make a way for us. He said,
yes,
when you come to this celebration, if you give of yourself, give yourself, surrender to God,
yes,
then the celebration will become a reality.
Yes. Yes.
In your life.
That's right.
I don't know if y'all heard me. See, when you come to the table this morning, don't expect any magical powers or any of that from the bread and the juice. That's not where it's at. But
come on now.
Oh, come on now.
Yes, sir. God.
That's just a ritual that we go through to signify something. But when you come this morning, come expecting God to do something in your life. If you just give yourself, surrender,
mm-hmm, yes,
to the Lord. Whatever you need is at the table.
It's at the table.
Whatever you need, whatever you're going through, whatever the problems in life are coming down on you,
mm-hmm,
your solution is at the table. If you will just come and surrender,
yes,
to the,
yes,
Lord, he can make a way.
Mm-hmm.
He can make a way. If you will just surrender, tell yourself to get out of the way. Understand that the God that I serve,
yes,
can do anything.
Anything. Yes, he
can. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You see, the problem we have too often is that we start celebrating too early what,
uh-huh,
Jesus has done and forgetting our part.
All right, now.
Of surrender.
Oh, thank you, Lord.
Well, we can celebrate. We shout all over the church.
Uh-huh.
But too often we forget what our part is.
Yeah.
Yes.
I surrender all.
Oh.
A new contract. Do you fully understand the contract?
Jesus help us.
That God has sent his son and he has paid it all.
Mm-hmm.
All you got to do is surrender. Sign, seal, and deliver it.
Thank you, Lord.
And if there should be somebody here this morning that need a new agent,
oh, God,
and need to accept the Lord Jesus,
yes, sir,
we can open up the doors of the church. And for those of you who already have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, maybe you need to go back and get him to more fully explain to you,
mm-hmm,
the terms of the contract.
Oh, God.
Come on.
And when you come to the table this morning, empty out all that you have, all your problems, all your concerns, and expect that Jesus will meet you here.
Yes, sir, God.
If you can't believe it, you can't receive it. But if you can believe it, God can make it happen.
That's right.
Would you stand? Sign, seal, and deliver. It's a new deal. If you don't have all that you think you deserve, tell Jesus. Tell him at any time that, Lord, I need to renegotiate my contract.
Yes, sir, God.
I left out something. I didn't understand something. Lord, I need to renegotiate. And he'll meet you at the table.